Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in the book of John, and today we'll be reading from John 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture would be fulfilled: he who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." Amen. All right, so as we continue in John's account of the gospel, we arrive at one of the most important nights in the narrative. Jesus and the disciples gather together to eat what would become known as the Last Supper. Judas would depart from the room and go to the high priests. Jesus would go to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus would be arrested because of the betrayal of Judas, who would return with the Pharisees and the officials. It's an important night. But before all this happens, Jesus, knowing what lies ahead, he takes this opportunity to serve his disciples. Not to be served by them one last time, but to serve them one last time. We see that Jesus takes off his outer garments and begins to wash the feet of his disciples, an act that would have been reserved for servants and would have been quite an unclean, lowly task. Remember, the sandals and the footwear that they would have worn would allow for plenty of dirt and sand and dust to dirty their feet over the course of a day of travel. And here Jesus was, becoming like a servant to the disciples that had committed to following him. And as Jesus does this, he uses this as an opportunity to teach the disciples and to introduce to them a new commandment. He says, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Jesus acknowledges his status as teacher, as Lord, as superior to the disciples, and yet he washes their feet. This reversal, this love that transcends position or authority, this love that seeks not to be served but to serve, is what Jesus models to the 12. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." This is a renewal and actually a hugely important expanding of Christ's previous summary of the Old Testament law, which was to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, but also to love one another as you love yourself. Do you see how now Christ changes the paradigm? He says, don't just love others as you love yourself, but love others as I have loved you, as Christ has loved you. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we're called to follow this commandment, to do likewise to the disciples. We're called to first deeply understand the love that Christ had first demonstrated to us, the love that would bring him to be silent as he's put on trial and accused and beaten and crucified, the love that made him bear the pain and separation from the Father to the point of death, so that the ones that he loved may have new life, to understand that love. And once we understand that love that he has first shown us, we are to love others in kind. To be a Christian is not to simply be a kind person. It's to live out a kindness that transcends logic, transcends reason or fairness or rationality. We're not called to simply be as kind as humanly possible. We're called to be kinder than that, to have a kindness that transcends human possibility. It forgives those who shouldn't be forgiven. It loves those who are beyond loving. It is grace-filled and patient to the utmost. And it's possible because Christ showed us a love beyond what you and I are capable of. And so as we live our lives today, let's seek to remember the love of Christ that he pours out to us, and also to allow his love to bring our love to greater capacity as we pour out to the world. Let's pray. Lord, would you remind us of just how loving and kind you are, just how laced with love the actions of this night where you were betrayed, where you stayed silent, as you were beaten, as you are crucified, and as you hang there on the cross, to still love us so much that you say, "Father, forgive them." Lord, may this kindness be the kindness that determines our heart, that shows us the bar to which we are to love the people around us. Lord, would you help us to do that? And will we draw from you, not on our own strength, but through you, Lord? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.